The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
But Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house! Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, and one more sad note. We have no games we are talking about coming to Kickstarter, but we do have some other fun content and an awesome interview from some ladies at Escape Room in a Box coming up later.
Yeah, so tell us, Melissa, what's the story on Kevin? Are we allowed to know?
Well, he's been having some back trouble, and today he was shooting hoops at the office or something and kind of tweaked it, and we're traveling in a few days, so he just wanted to ice it, rest it. He's probably in bed right now.
It stinks getting old. It really does.
Poor Kevin.
I hope you survive, man. I'm sure you're listening to this on your way back from, what's the time travel plans?
We'll be home already when this.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I think that's still in the past. I don't know. Yeah. We're warming up. We just had dinner tonight, like a huge feast, and yes, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving to be coming very soon. As Sarah mentioned, we're not going to talk about any unpublished games. This is a slow season, which is intelligent. There's lots of stuff going on. If you're putting out a Kickstarter right now, good luck. Yeah. But we thought we'd talk about a bunch of published games, and then we do have an interview coming up, which will be really cool. But before we jump into all those things, why don't we hear a word from our sponsor?
This episode is sponsored by the Tantrum House Etsy store. We have board game themed decals, shirts, and Christmas cards. Check us out for unique Christmas gifts. And keep listening for details on how you can win something from our store.
Ooh, so we're doing a giveaway at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Make sure you hang around to hear that. I don't know if you've ever seen our Etsy store. If you haven't, you should go check it out. We have lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, we've got Katie and I produce, well, mostly Katie, produces some great decals to show off on your car, and we have some board game themed t-shirts, and we have several Christmas cards, and we have a new one that we just put out this year. It is a terraforming Mars themed card.
We were having some fun. We like to put together kind of like, it's not a meme.
What would parody. You call
it? Yeah, like a parody card of some of our favorite board games. And this year we chose Terraforming Mars. We did like a Following Stars, Three Wise Men type of thing. Before we put them out, we always like to talk to the publishers just to make sure they're cool with it. Mm-hmm. And Stronghold was very cool. They sent us some great emails, so they liked it and that they gave us the thumbs up. So go check that one out if you're a Terraforming Mars fan. I'll admit, I haven't actually played it yet.
I have.
Yeah?
I'll bring it sometime soon.
All right, cool.
After the holidays,
Is it all the rave? I mean, everybody was loving it this year. What's your experience been so far?
It's definitely, you have to play it a couple times to figure out how the different cards work and building your engine. I haven't played it with the different starting corporations and powers. And then you can also draft cards, which they say adds like an extra hour to the game.
Oh my.
But really gives you more control over the type of engine that you want to build. So I'm looking forward to playing it actually during Thanksgiving, which will have already happened.
Yay, you probably had a lot of fun.
Yes, it was awesome.
Well, cool. Let's take a look at some published games that maybe we would recommend that you consider as some Christmas gifts for your family. I think we're calling this one-time segment Katie's Christmas List.
Yeah, mostly because apparently I was the only one that was super excited about doing this.
That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Oh, right. That's it. So we kind of put together this list of different categories that you might want to, like, people you might be buying for.
So where are we starting? What's the top of the list?
Don't read it, Ryan. Don't read my list.
Ryan is not allowed to read certain portions of this list. In fact, he'll have to leave the room in a moment.
Uh-oh, is one of these
because
right?
There might be some Christmas gifts for Ryan.
Maybe.
For the gamer.
Maybe yes. On this list.
Okay, so the first one, which is totally safe for Ryan to listen to.
Oh, good. I read that one.
Don't read it. Stop reading my list. Okay, is what you would get for two players.
Two-player friends.
Yes. So okay. I actually get that question a lot, is what's a game that I can play with just two players? And this is, like we said, published games. And I've heard a lot of people don't actually ever play this game, but I found that to be really fun is BioShock Infinite.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. As a board player?
It is. Okay. It's
not the video game.
Not the video game.
Also could be fun for
yes,
two players.
The board game.
It's just one?
It's either for two players or four players, but you play still on teams. So it's ideal for two players.
Okay.
And I've played it several times. I played it on teams and as an individual, and I like it best as an individual. Just, it's easier to...
make your decisions.
Yes, and... make your decisions and
okay,
stuff.
Cool.
But I think it's really fun, and I've enjoyed it. It is a longer game, but once you get the game set up and you work through the rules, it's easy to understand, and you can get going with
it. It's super fun for two players. Yeah. Melissa, do you have any favorite two-player games?
Well, basically, for every single category, my answer is probably going to be some version of Codenames. And for two players, Codenames Duet really is awesome. You can still play in teams, but it really shines at two players, mm-hmm. and it's actually harder than the original version because you're actually playing cooperatively. And you have, I don't know what it is, about 15-ish or so agents that you're trying to...
cooperatively identify.
Yes. Yeah. And there are three assassins on each side. And it just gets really interesting because there's some overlap with your cards. So you're like, oh, yeah. He's supposed to guess that one, but is he also trying to get me to guess this one?
This is
I don't know.
Definitely an assassin on my
or
board. Do
if
I still
I touch it,
it
yeah. I don't know. So I really do like that one for two players.
Cool. Katie, what's next on the list?
All right. So the next one was what to get for kids.
Okay, kids games.
And something that I have found that kids really enjoyed, like, is King of Tokyo, which is actually fun for adults as well, so that's great. So when you're playing with your kids, you're not going crazy.
Those
yes.
are the best kind.
Kids really just love the rolling those big chunky dice, and they love the monsters and the upgrades. Like, oh, I just got two heads, you know. So they get really excited over that, and we've had a lot of fun playing with our nephews. And
yeah, I think we played it with our one nephew, and he was only 3 or 4 years old.
And still was able to
he was whooping yeah. everybody. Yeah. I was reading the cards for him. He was making the decisions, and he was still winning. It was
cool.
It was
yep.
exciting.
I love that one. It's one of my favorites. Sarah, what do you got? Anything on the kid list?
Especially if you have kids that like to play video games, is Monopoly Gamer. And I know a lot of people may dislike Monopoly as a game, but I think Monopoly Gamer is pretty much Mario Kart turned into a game. I didn't even finish reading the rules. The kids just took over and were just laughing hysterically playing this game for, I don't know, how long did they? It was almost an hour. They kept on playing. I think they added in extra bosses at the end to keep the game going, so...
it's got really,
a fun one.
Really cooling components. Anybody who likes Mario will have fun with the components. And then Xander's 5, and he was still having a blast. Yeah. Liam was explaining how to do it. He's 9. Yeah, they really did pick it up themselves and run with it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's one that if you want to buy additional birthday gifts throughout the year, you can go and find the extra characters so you can unlock more things in the game.
Oh. And that's the type of one that you could give to not-gamer kids, too, because
yes.
they're going to enjoy that one. Cool, what else is on
so
the list, Katie?
So, of course, there's also...
I almost jumped away from Codenames
Disney! So, there's Codenames Disney and Codenames Marvel that have recently come out. So, those are great for kids. They have pictures on one side.
For the young
on
and the young at heart. Is
yes, words on the other side. And then also, I would suggest looking at the Haba.
Yeah, a whole line right there.
Company. They do lots of kid games and family games. Quality components and a lot of colors and... really check them out if you have kids.
Yeah. Another company that two companies my kids have enjoyed is they've enjoyed some of the Blue Orange games.
Mm-hmm.
They also have quality components. And then Kids Table Gaming. So Kids Table Board Gaming. We just played Food Fighters last night with my 5-year-old and... They enjoy all of their games, so that's another company that I would check out their stuff because they put out quality products as well.
Okay, so next on the list would be the casual gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all know those guys.
I know, as I say, the star example of that in our lives is my sister-in-law, Valerie.
Okay.
Who comes to a lot of our game nights.
We drag her in.
But she likes the social aspect more than the game. So we would say she is the casual gamer we know. And she actually said Sushi Go
is the one.
Is the casual gamer's game
of choice.
Yes, it's lighthearted, it's fun, it's cute, and as she points out, it comes in the cute little box, the little tin box.
Yep.
And it's a fast, fun game that's just easy to pick up and play and enjoy.
Has she played the Sushi Go box? You guys have the box, the big box, right?
Sushi Go Party. Yeah. I don't know if she actually played that.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to break Christmas it out over Christmas.
There you go. Don't listen. Yeah. Don't listen, Valerie.
So, yeah, but I'm sure she'll enjoy it.
What code names do we have for the casual player, Melissa?
You could go maybe regular or pictures. Maybe
pictures. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty
casual. Because then you can, you know, for those that don't like to read or like the more visual aspect. So that code names is there. I also put down King Domino as something that you could really get into as a casual gamer. And
yeah, we
played
that a lot with your mom over.
Yeah, my mom isn't.
She
grew up playing card games and likes board games, but doesn't play them a whole lot unless we come and visit. So.
But she played like 300 rounds of King Domino while we were there.
We did. A game that I would suggest for a casual gamer or even a non-gamer, and that may be another category Katie
has.
This is
a different category.
Don't see my head.
Okay. You're the red. Casual gamer would be Potion Explosion.
I had considered that one.
Yes. I had demoed that for CMON at Origins in 2016, and I ended up having a lot of couples sit down where maybe the wife wasn't a big board gamer but had come along to support her husband, and they ended up winning every time.
So, really?
Yes.
Wow.
They really got into it, and it was a big hit, I think. So
cool. All right. So, yes, the next category is the non-gamer. My suggestion for that is maybe you shouldn't get them again.
No.
But if you do want to try to slip in there and get them a game for Christmas, I was thinking that number 9 would be a good one. That one's new. It just came out this year.
From Z-Man.
Yeah. And it is very non-board game-like. Because it's stacking the different shapes and figuring out. It's a lot more puzzle-like than game-like, almost. Just very, you're just playing it all by yourself. You know, you've got your own little thing you're working on. Everybody else is doing their own thing. And you're just figuring out this little puzzle to figure out how it's going to all fit together and how you can get the most points. So even though it is a game, it's the most non-game-like game. I don't know. Yeah. But I had a great time playing it, and I think that a lot of non-gamers, like I could see my family who doesn't game, would really enjoy that. Yeah. So it's like you can kind of work at your own pace, you know. It's nice.
Cool.
There's not a lot of rules, so that's another plus
that's
for
non-gamers
like that. So, yeah.
Is there one on your list, Melissa? Is there code names for that category?
Sure, any code names would be fine. I was thinking something maybe like Flux.
Okay.
It has so many different versions. Mm-hmm. So if there's a certain theme that they like, a certain IP, intellectual property, then maybe that could be something that people would play. Because it's just cards, and it's changing the rules, and it's you don't have a whole bunch of rules that you're front-loading. It's like, draw a card, play a card. Things will change.
Yeah.
So that could be something. Yeah.
Flux and number 9 are both very simple rules-wise. But if you're going for a non-gamer, you want to just avoid rules in general. And that's why I think Happy Salmon is a gamer game. Because you don't even really need to explain it. You just show them like the first
three cards
and you're done.
Right.
And then you
what
can
Happy
just
Salmon
have
is,
a crazy
it?
Time and... Yeah. Get right into it.
I have a blast introducing those people because I pretty much just carry it with me everywhere I go. And anytime there's like a 10-minute lull, I'm like, you guys want to play Happy Salmon? No, what's that? You're going to love it. Come here, try it. So, yeah, I agree. That's a good suggestion.
All right. Next category. All right, is the one Ryan has to cover his ears for this one. I'll the gamer who has everything.
lucky Ryan.
Yes, this is the gamer who has everything. Ryan's left the room.
Right, he's now clear. Okay.
Yes. So I actually have this suggestion. This is something I've been following. Is wooden component trays.
Okay.
From Dogmite.
Dogmite.
Yes, I've seen this. They just had a Kickstarter this year, and they're available for pre-order. But they're wooden trays that are magnetic, so they click together in a lot of different ways. But they hold all of your little components. So you're playing a game that has a lot of little things that you have to keep up with. Yeah, you've got all these little trays that you can like choose to. You split everything up. They pull out really easily. And it just seems like the perfect add-on to these games that have tons of components you have to keep up with. Yes, so Ryan will...
Don't tell Ryan.
Don't tell Ryan. Yes, that was my suggestion. So not an actual board game, but a great add-on.
And that's like universal, so it's not specific to a single game.
Totally universal. Cool. It comes in just like this little like carrying case kind of thing, and then you just clip it. They all like magnetize together, and
slick.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting.
Check that out.
I'm gonna suggest we put like a link to that to their website on there, so you can check that out.
Check that out in the comments or something description.
On the guild.
Ooh, they could go there.
Yeah.
We'll okay, Ryan, you can come back.
You can come back.
My suggestion, and I can say this because Ryan already got one of these for his birthday, is custom dice trays or dice. Yeah.
Dice towers.
Dice towers or dice trays. Katie has made some really awesome ones herself, and I'm sure there are companies that would put together.
Oh, there's tons of them out there.
So that's one that you could, it can be playable with most any game, and would be awesome to get something custom for somebody.
Yeah.
I know upgraded resources could be a big thing, too. Kevin always likes to pull out his Stonemaier chest.
Special,
that has the actual metal pieces.
Upgraded or components.
The wood or the food, you know, all of those.
Oh, yeah.
Coins. Something else that's good is finding a game that this person you are shopping for has been looking for and finding a copy of that game they've been missing in their collection. So I think that would also be a good gift.
Yeah. Okay. Just a few more. Okay.
Okay.
This is the one to get your significant other.
Oh, and Ryan's got to leave again.
No. This is the one Ryan needs to pay attention. Pay attention to this one.
Okay.
This is super specific. titanium dragon dice set.
This might be my favorite podcast moment.
Okay. Well, okay. This may also go along with, but all right. So a custom dice set, I think, is a great way to do it. Especially, I'm thinking specifically if your significant other is into, like, RPG or...
If you love them.
If you love them and want them to have a wonderful Christmas, you know. I will also put that link somewhere Ryan can find it.
You get lost. Just go back to the episode. 15.
So this really was Katie's Christmas list.
As it turns out, yes. There's just beautiful dice sets out there. So if you're actually into that kind of thing, like this is a beautiful dice set. But there's also like custom dice you can get. There's 3D printing that they now do with dice, and you can get like crazy looking dice.
Seen some very cool.
They're really neat. There's I actually could not think of the name of the website I looked up earlier, but there's places that do like stone sets of dice. Like you can get them in precious stones or semi-precious stones, all kinds of
diamond
metals.
Dice.
Well, that would be super expensive. But there's all kinds of metals. There's different kinds of wood dice. I think that'd be an interesting thing to get for your significant other.
That sounds like a great idea. What a complete list. Is there any more? Is that the last one? You got one more?
One more. And I should have put this a little further up in the list, but what you would get your grandparents, So an older people who are still interested in games.
Okay.
And this is something I've actually gotten from my grandparents, is the card game Diamonds.
Okay, that's a good one, yeah.
A lot of older people are very familiar with card games.
Yeah, or hearts or spades.
Yes, they're very comfortable there. And so Diamonds is something that is a slight twist on those, gives some variations of these card games, but it adds some more board game type components and rules. And so that's an interesting way to give them a new game that they already are kind of familiar with.
Yeah, we actually, I think, gave your mom Diamonds a couple years back.
I guess she's a grandma.
Not our grandma, but yeah, that's a great one. It's got a couple simple components, but they're really cool and nice. And then, yeah, you're right. It's a familiar type of game, but with some new twists. Yeah, that's a cool one.
Another one I would add to that list is Lanterns. Lanterns plays very much like dominoes does. So a lot of people who have, you know, grown up playing dominoes might be able to pick that up quickly. You would have to explain how to get the victory points and all that, but with the set collection. But just laying the tile part is very simple.
I think you guys were playing the game tonight, weren't you? That's I think we gave that to my mom a little while back. She's a huge Solitaire fan, and so she gobbled that up. It's just like a... two decks have to go higher, two decks have to go lower, and everybody's trying to get rid of all the cards in their hand. It's got a little bit of a scary theme to it, honestly.
Which is odd.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't need to be scary, but...
I think I saw there's like either an expansion or a new version or something. It didn't look quite as scary. I think it's called The Expansion. No, it should be called that. I don't know what it's called. But that might be a good option to check out, too, because it's a really simple, easy-to-learn one that actually is a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, well, my parents... Sorry, parents instead of grandparents. They've enjoyed Carcassonne. They've enjoyed Ticket to Ride. They also really liked Letter Tycoon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a board game where you're laying cards down and getting patents for certain letters. So you actually make money when people use the letters that you have as patents.
It's got a very cool aesthetic to it, too.
It does.
I like the look of that one. I could see that appealing to... anybody really, but
I had designers come by and go like, we bought this one just because it looked so neat.
Yeah, it really does.
A great game for families and youth groups and college kids that like trick-taking games
and grandmas
is of course Steam Court.
That's true.
Always have a special place in
all of our hearts.
And it has to be on all of our lists.
That's true. It should have been on all of those. Melissa should have been chiming in with code names, and I should have been like Steam Court. Steam Court. That's our game.
We do play code names with my family too.
So we play Steam Court with my family too. Funny story. We had some friends over yesterday, and one of the ladies said, "Oh, hey, this is the game that my cousin made." And Ryan and I both looked at each other like, are we your cousin? Her cousin was our illustrator, Greg Warner, who did all the illustrations for the game, which was very cool.
That makes sense.
So it was a nice little circle connect, but it was really funny. I don't think your cousin made this game. All right, so we're going to jump into our next segment, and we want to welcome our health guests, Juliana and Ariel. Welcome to the house, guys. Hey!
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be
excellent.
Here.
Excellent. We are super excited. We're going to assume that you guys are also into board gaming, not just escape rooms in a box.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your history in board gaming or what got you into the hobby?
Oh, I mean, my cousin used to say that my brother and I were trained like Spartans from a young age, like brought up in board games, and that we, you know, it was like a competition to the death. So our entire lives, you know, we were fierce competitors in board games, and it's carried through into my adult life. I throw regular game nights, getting everyone together. We just started Pandemic Legacy Season 2,
so we're super excited
about it. Yeah,
a little jealous.
It's so fun, so can't wait to see what Season 2 has in store for us.
Cool, and that was, say it for us, your last name. That was Juliana, right?
Yes, that was Juliana.
And what's your last name?
Patel.
Patel, all right. And then Ariel, tell us about yourself.
I actually mostly played card games as a kid in D&D. A lot of card games in D&D. And awesome. I've gotten into board games more recently. What?
I said Ryan approves.
I've gotten into, more into board games recently. I think Catan, you know, won me over, as so many others. particularly Cities and Knights, and now, you know, we have way too many games. And I, Julianne and I actually met at that game night that she is talking about.
Oh, cool. So
we have a friend who decided, well, he said that we are the most two most competitive women he knows, and therefore we needed to meet each other.
Awesome. Now, I'm guessing you guys are both escape room fans. What has been your favorite escape room experience?
Oh, it's hard to narrow it down to just one. We've done like over 100 at this point. Saying what's your favorite board game? It's like, is it... I mean, there's just so many variables. I think one that really stands out is Palace Games in San Francisco.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, we actually took a trip just to play that game because we'd heard so much about it. It lasts an hour and a half instead of the typical hour. And cool. They are large-scale rooms. You have to rent out the entire room, and it's good for like 8 to 10 people. And just the immersion, the puzzles, the set design, just everything is really top notch at that company.
Very cool. And how many did you guys have in the room?
I think we had between 8 and 10.
Yeah. And it's one of these rooms where, you know, most games say 8, but you really want to do them with like 4. And this room, you really needed everybody.
Yes.
Did you win? That's the real question.
We won one of them, and then we lost the other, because they are, like, marathons, 50-50. Too. They're exhausting.
An hour and a half, yeah, that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So, obviously, we're having you guys on the show because you guys are the designers behind the Escape Room in a Box, the Werewolf Experiment. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be. Where did that come from?
Well, we met at, as I said, we met at one of Juliana's game nights, and we had started going to escape rooms. Juliana actually had her escape room team, which I was not on.
I had the A team, like people I knew very well, and knew that
I was eventually allowed onto the A team after much hazing.
It's true.
And we both have kids, as we talked about. So, you know, getting a babysitter and going to an escape room, it gets very expensive. So we decided that we wanted to play an escape room at home, like as one of Juliana's game nights. And there wasn't one on the market. So Brilliant. We decided to make one.
Awesome. Now, I think we actually got to play test one. I think
yes.
It was this one. I don't know how early in the process it was. Did a lot of stuff change between what we play tested and what ended up hitting the market?
I would say there's like a few changes between what you played and then what we sent out into the world in our first edition. And then there's a few more changes between our first edition and the Mattel edition. But it's basically very much the same game. The changes were, you know, fairly small.
Okay, well, that was going to be my next question. Has that been broadly announced that you guys got picked up by Mattel? Tell us that story, because that's super exciting.
It's pretty cool. One of our backers was actually one of the guys over at Mattel, and between that and we knew someone who, like, we had someone who connected us with someone over there too, and those two things got us a play test at Mattel, and they loved it. And my cat is trying to eat my cord. I'm sorry.
We were attacked by rabbits a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'll just hold it up. And so we had a play test over there, and they basically said in the room that they wanted it, and it's just been this incredible experience. They're just a really great team over there, really creative, all game designers, just awesome people.
Yeah, and all the changes that they've made have been either like, well, we just physically, we're a toy company with all these safety standards, so like we can't put a pen in the box, so it's going to be a pencil in the box. Or they've made a few changes like for replayability, and you know, they've been so great about keeping us involved every step of the way and bringing us in to look at all of their samples and give them notes on it. And we love working with them so much.
That's thrilling. That's a super blast. I was trying to figure that out because it seems like if you go as I mean, they're going to obviously manufacture this knot out of this. And I was trying to figure out, is there a way to simplify some of those components? How do they get it all to fit together? And it sounds like it's going to stay pretty true to the original.
I felt so vindicated because the manufacturing process on this game was a nightmare. I mean, this game is so, so complicated. And the Mattel team actually told us that Mattel said this was the most complicated game they've ever made. So it wow. made me feel super, super proud that we got our first edition out there into the world awesome. At the level of quality that we did.
Cool.
So and, was, you know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to your point, I think simplifying it would ruin what's special about our game because, you know, what's so great about our game and what makes it different than the other escape room games, which are also a lot of fun, but what's different about ours is the physical components. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, yeah. As you know, there's actual locks. Yeah. You know, you're not just being told you can't go into an envelope until you solve a puzzle. You have to actually figure out the numbers if you're going to get in there. And so they, I think that's what Mattel loved about it, and they have kept that and actually added some cool new stuff.
Sweet.
Cool. Are there, do you have any more games coming soon that you've been working on?
That you can give us the secret in news before anybody else on?
We
coming soon, my...
Two things. We are allowed to say that we are working on the next Escape Room in a Box. And it's going to be
sweet.
Super awesome and really take the physical interactions to the next level. I think we can say that.
Sweet.
And yeah, to Arielle's point, coming soon is a bit questionable because this is so in-depth and complicated, this one.
Okay, awesome. Will you guys plan to go to Kickstarter awesome. With that, or will that go through Mattel? What's your...
Well, we're not sure we're allowed to say.
The future will okay. tell.
All right, cool. Well, we'll keep us in the loop. Sorry. We'll be excited to know when it comes. That's totally fine. Is there anything else you guys want to say and get out there? Because we'd love to send people to you. Tell us where we can find your stuff and, you know, the best place to get a hold of all this good stuff.
Well, if it's all right, there's something else I'd like to plug.
Yeah, do
we,
it.
Since we got our Kickstarter out there, which is... been so awesome, and it was because of people like you but doing really good reviews, and that was how we got so many backers, and it was great. We've started a puzzle design business, so we're, you know, as we're working on the new game, we're also designing puzzles for like weddings and galas and proposals. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole sort of other escape room type thing. We and that's been really cool, and people should look us up for it.
Awesome. Where can they find out about that?
So to give you all the plugs, they can find us and our custom puzzle design company at wildoptimists.com. That's optimist plural. They can cool. buy the Mattel version of the game. It's currently on Amazon for pre-order. So just search for Escape Room in a Box, The Werewolf Experiment. And you can also go to the website, www.escaperoominabox.com, and get all sorts of fun extras. The soundtrack is up there. There's Ooh, the okay. refill pack soundtrack. So that you can play it again. And one thing that the Mattel version has that's super fun is they've actually integrated it with Alexa. So you can ask oh. Alexa to play the soundtrack and keep time and give you hints.
Give you clues and stuff? Right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's pretty brilliant. I love it. Yeah. Very, very cool. Okay, so before we let you guys go, we like to play games with our guests whenever we can. We have some games that we're busting out a brand new one on you guys. You can be our play testers for this game.
Okay, fair so enough, I've got a couple of riddles. A play testers. Okay.
I've got a couple riddles. I'm going to read them and ask them to you. I'm actually going to let some of our crew chime in because they can't see the answer, so you can cool. all brainstorm together on this, all right?
Okay.
Katie just got excited. Okay, riddle number one. A man is trapped in a room. The room has only two possible exits, two doors. Through the first door, there is a room constructed from magnifying glasses. The blazing hot sun instantly fries anything or anyone that enters. Through the second door, there is a fire-breathing dragon that will kill you instantly. How does the man escape the room?
He opens both doors.
Well, it said that it would fry anyone who enters. You didn't say exits. Does that count?
Ooh, let's think it, but that's not the answer.
Can he open both doors at once so that the fire-breathing dragon breathes out the fire and blasts open the magnifying glass?
Wow. It's no wonder that you guys have, like, that you're good at this. That's not the answer, but I love that idea. The answer is he waits until nighttime, and then he can walk through the door with the magnifying glasses because the sun wouldn't murder
him. Oh.
Okay, question number two. What has cities but no houses, forests but no trees,
and water, but no fish. Any Catan? Ideas?
Cities and nights.
I feel like I was confused by that.
Right. Wait, cities but no houses. What was the rest of it?
Forest, but no trees, and water, but no fish. Melissa, what do you got?
I don't know. I'm like visual. I need to read the riddles.
Ooh, you can visualize a map. Oh, it's a map.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, you might see some trees on the map, but...
I thought that too, actually. I'll give you that. Okay, two more. Feed me and I live, yet give me a drink and I die. What am I?
I know this one.
Fire.
If other people want to take a guess.
Did you guess it too?
What?
I think I've heard that one.
I've heard that one. The answer is fire.
It is. You're right. Okay, last time. Last one. What is 3/7 chicken, 2/3 cat, and 2/4 goat?
Tuna in a can. Oh, no.
Chicago.
Oh, good grief. Oh, gosh. Did you come up with that one on your own?
No. Okay. I take credit for none of these. But that's all I got. So thank you so much for playing. We'll say that you won because we like winners. Thank you guys so much for being with us. We had a good time. I hope you guys did as well.
Yes, thank you. We love riddles.
All right, be sure to check out their stuff. One more time, that was www.escaperoominbox.com.
Wild Optimist. And WildOptimist.com.
Awesome. Be sure to check it out. Thank you guys so much for being with us. We'll say goodbye for now. Bye.
All
right. It was super great talking to Juliana and Ariel from Escape Room in a Box.
The werewolf experiment.
Yes. And we're excited to see any new products they will be coming out with on the
Sounds
horizon.
Sounds very cool. Mm-hmm.
All right, and now we have something awesome to talk about. We have a game to give away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a copy of Flag Dash and Ryan.
Peacekeeper Games. Yes. They sponsored us last week, so we've got a copy to give away.
All right, and Ryan is going to roll our dice.
Yes, and
the winner is Celeste from Kansas.
Congrats, Celeste! Yay! We'll get your name out to Peacekeeper, and they'll send you a copy of Flag Dash. Congrats on winning. Thanks for entering the contest. Thanks, everybody who entered.
And we actually have a giveaway to prepare for this coming week.
Yes.
So after this podcast launches, we will post on Facebook a link to our Etsy store. So if you share that link and...
share it with all your friends.
Yeah, share it with all your friends.
On your Facebook.
You will be entered to win...
5 of our Christmas cards from our Etsy shop. If you can choose any 5 you would like.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So be sure to do that. If you want a chance to win some cool Christmas cards to send out to your geeky board game friends, share the post. And from all the shares that we get next week on our episode next week, we'll announce a winner. And we'll get those out to you ASAP so you can get them in the mail just in time for Christmas. I think that wraps it up for this episode.
Yeah.
No Couples Collision this week, right? We're saving it for next week?
Next week.
Yeah, you're off the hook.
Kevin's got to...
Yeah.
We don't want to miss... Kevin, we missed you. And we hope that you'll have some great questions for us next
week.
Until then, though, we'll see you all next time. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!